Hear God's word from James. Do you want to be counted wise? To build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle, reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside ourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. And now you're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Eric Ritz shares a wonderful legend from the old days about how one day the carpenter's tools had a conference, and it went something like this. Brother Hammer was in the chair, and the members informed him that he must leave because he was too noisy. And he said, well, if I'm to leave this shop, well then Brother Gimlet must go too, because he's so insignificant that he can only make a small impression. Little Brother Gimlet arose and said, all right, but Brother Screw must go also. You have to turn him around and round and around and around to get him to go anywhere. And then Brother Screw said, well, if you wish, I will go. But Brother Plain must also leave. All his work is only on the surface. There's no depth to it. Brother Plain replied, well, Brother Rule will also have to withdraw if I do, for he is always measuring other folks as though he were the only one who's right. And then Brother Rule complained against Brother Sandpaper. And he said, I just don't care for him. He's rougher than he ought to be. He's always rubbing people the wrong way. Well, in the midst of this discussion, the carpenter of Nazareth walked in. He'd come to do his day's work. And he put on his apron, he went to the bench to make a pulpit, and he employed the screw, the gimlet, the sandpaper, the saw, the hammer, the plane, all the other tools. And after the day's work was over and the puppet was finished, Brother Saw arose and said, "Brethren, I perceive that all of us are laborers together with God." I really like that story. For me, it's just a wonderful analogy of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis, each of us with our differences, and very, very clear in terms of our own gifts, but not so clear on the gifts of others and how they are needed too. And so we find ourselves in continual conflict, not recognizing a lot of times how everyone brings something to it. That as the body of Christ, we need all the parts. But there are times when those parts are going to be in disagreement. That's normal and natural. But that's not the plan. And it's God, as in this analogy, who brings us together, who keeps reminding and helping us to make that work. Eric shares another story that I also like. It helps to illustrate this. He talks about this young boy who was being harassed by the class bully. This was happening on a regular basis. Just bully, bully, bully. And finally, one day, this young boy said to the bully, he was just giving him an extra special hard time. He took a stick and he drew a line in the soil and he said, "Okay, I double dare you to cross that line." And so the bully, what's he going to do, had no trouble just crossing over that line. To which the young boy said, "Now you're on my team." Oh. Is that great? Is that great? The point being, my friends, that every single one of us is dealing with issues all the time, conflicts. And as I was reading this morning, I mean, here's this letter that James is writing. How many years ago? A couple thousand years ago? Does it read like a description of our own world? Yeah. Each generation goes through these things. There may be different dynamics. The setting may be a little bit different in some ways, but we all go through this. In fact, as I was reading this, I was actually envisioning the debate this last week. And I thought, I wish I could send this to a few people. Hear this again. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Somebody needs to hear that. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning and devilish conniving. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. And sadly, among those who want to lead our country at all different levels, we're seeing this, we're hearing this, and a lot of people are kind of getting sucked into believing it. But what we're reminded of in this passage is that there is earthly wisdom, and then there is God's wisdom. And there are so many voices that are out in the world trying to convince us that earthly wisdom is the way to go. And not enough voices who are countering it. Now, why is that? Well, part of it is because it's a whole lot easier to live according to the earthly rules. And especially when we have a culture that is continually encouraging fear, not telling us truth, but picking out, whether it's the news or other things, continually holding up to us stories that are designed to make us terrified, that are utilized intentionally to control and maneuver and manipulate all of the people, to try to convince us that certain things are happening and certain things will happen if we don't do according to these minions' plans and directions for us. There has never been a time when We have needed wisdom more. And when it seems so terribly lacking. So how are the two different? Well, the scripture reminds us that earthly wisdom involves things like envy. That's a sign of it. Greed. Selfish ambition. Cunning. Conniving. Dishonest. And under it all, kind of a thing about every choice is what serves me. It's all about me. So we're encouraged to constantly be on the lookout for what are the things that are going to be in your best interest. Not in the interest of us all, not to benefit us all, but what's going to help me get what I want. And that's even within families, you see it. You see people conniving and manipulating and working to, you know, work the system so I get what I want. That isn't what God considers wisdom. And that isn't the world that He created us for. When we're talking about God's wisdom, we're talking about the exact opposite. We're talking about an effort to be pure, to be unselfish, to be humble, to be gentle, even meek, even though that does not have positive connotations in the world, that seems as a weakness, no. Remember, God's word talks about when I am weak, I am strong. So all of these things of God's wisdom are often cast as being signs of weakness, and no. Absolutely not. It's actually strength. I mean, it's a lot easier when you're afraid to bluster and bully than it is to be gracious and humble and mild and kind. But that's part of His wisdom, to be peaceful, harmonious, generous. These are all signs of God's wisdom, God's way. And they run counter to everything the world wants you to believe. Everything. So, how do we get there? How can we live out God's wisdom and not get sucked in by the world's wisdom? It's not easy, is it? Well, there's a couple of things. A starting point is we have to want it. We have to want it. And if you're afraid and you don't want it, you won't have it. That's why one of the most common phrases in the Bible, though, is fear not. Because if you're afraid, then you're going to feel that you have to follow the world's wisdom to survive. And that's kind of how we justify it in ourselves is, okay, I don't really want to do this, but I've got to do it because otherwise somebody's going to get me. So we have to start by wanting God's wisdom and by recognizing the lies that are out there. And remembering, fear not. When the things hit, when we're concerned, we've got to be aware of our own emotions, our own feelings, so we know what's triggering us to misbehave. So it starts with wanting it and that awareness. And we also have to recognize that, yes, it can be hard. It can be hard. It means going against the current. It means going against the norm of our culture. It means different. And it's not always easy to be different. Because we want to belong, right? We want to belong. But that's not what our faith is about. It's not about belonging to the world. It's being in the world, but not of the world. So that awareness is really, really important. Other elements are we need to surround ourselves with people who share those same values. That's why it's important for us to come together. Even as we said earlier, even as we're worshiping and doing other things, we need to know that there are people who get us, who can support us, encourage us. So when we have that bad moment, we've got somebody who can help us get back on our feet, and that we can say, oh man, I just blew it. I really lost my cool today. Such and such happened. And somebody you can say, yeah, I know I had a bad day too, but we're going to get through this. We're going to do this. We need that. And we also need it from the standpoint of being able to create a community that works together. It's pretty hard to visualize something that you've never seen or you can't experience. And many of us, when we're in the workplace or with neighbors or in other areas, we're seeing, you know, the worldly wisdom, and we're not seeing any evidence of a harmonious community. And again, that's one of the really tragic things, is we're looking at the people who seek to be the leaders of our country. We see a horrible change just even in the last few years. Some of you may have seen that they were showing the difference between this debate last week and some of the accusations and lies that were told compared to a competitor in a previous race for the president who had the grace to at least be able to say, no, this is a good person. We have differences, but that doesn't mean he's a bad person. These are the kinds of things that we need to claim in our dealings with people, that even if we disagree, we need to recognize that every single person is bringing something to it, and that we are called to find the ways to connect each other, to bring harmony, to bring peace, to surround ourselves with people that share those values, but also find ways that we can model those, ways that we can show there's a better way, a happier way, a beautiful way. That's part of what we're called to do. And it also means in terms of how we spend our time, what we seek, what we read, what we fill our minds with. It's because, you know, what's in our heads is what we're going to live out. So that means that we need to find things that feed the good in us, that model the good in us and for us, and not the things that model the ugly, the harmful, the vicious. So that's an important, there may be more limited resources, they're harder to find, but it's absolutely crucial. And finally, we've just got to keep choosing every day and every moment, reminding ourselves, even if you have to write it down on a piece of paper, and when somebody really ticks you off, okay, I have to remember, I'm not like that. That's not who I am. And I'm angry and I'm upset, but I am to be the opposite of that. I'm to be unselfish. I'm to be humble. I'm to be caring. I'm to be merciful. I'm to be peaceful. I'm to be harmonious. We need to keep those in our mind. And we need to not just talk about it, not just want it, but make every effort to live it. And that means we practice. And we know that some days we're going to do better than others. And some days we're going to blow it. But we can pick ourselves up and try again. I want to close with a prayer that sort of captures this, by Robert Raines. He wrote, I'm like James and John, Lord. Lord, I size up other people in terms of what they can do for me, how they can further my program, feed my ego, satisfy my needs, and give me strategic advantage. I exploit people, ostensibly for your sake, but really for my own sake. Lord, I turn to you to get the inside track and obtain special favors. Your direction for my schemes, your power for my projects, your sanction for my ambitions, Your blank check for whatever I want. I'm like James and John. Change me, Lord. Make me a man who asks of you and of others, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? That's why we're here. It's not for us. But the amazing thing that happens is that as we ask, what can I do for you, and aim to do it, we receive the most beautiful gifts of all in our lives. God is offering you great, enormous wisdom that can give you joy and satisfaction you will get no other way. I invite you to claim that and live it. In Jesus' name, amen.